This is a download from Nature Research, part of Springer Nature.
Hello again. It's that time of year and I'm back to a very sunny Heidelberg to meet another winner of the Eppendorf Young European Investigator Award at the European Molecular Biology Laboratory's Advanced Training Centre. Eppendorf has been running these awards in partnership with Nature since 1995. This year's winner is Georg Winter, and I had a sit-down chat with him in a nice quiet room after his speech. First of all, a big congratulations on winning the prize. You must be thrilled.
Yeah, thank you very much. It's a huge honor, and it's a very humbling experience to be awarded this prize.
And it's a very hot day as well.
Yeah, it's very hot. I feel bad for everyone who has to put on a suit and, you know, even a tie maybe, but we'll have to fight through it.
Well, thank goodness they found us a nice air-conditioned room for the podcast.
That helps.
Now, the work you're being celebrated for here started off with a key paper, didn't it, in 2015 in Science, detailing a new technique for targeting specific proteins relevant to cancer.
Yeah, so it works via relatively simple principles. So we started out by making small molecules that have two arms, where one arm would bind to a protein of interest that we want to degrade, and the second arm binds to the protein degradation machinery of a cell. This is a machinery that is active in every cell of your body, but with these, as we call them, bifunctional molecule, we can reprogram this degradation machinery, basically to eliminate this protein of interest that we want to get rid of.
And the drug you use to bind those two components then is a thalidomide. These drugs have quite a contentious history, don't they?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the first thalidomide that you would be hearing of is called thalidomide, and it was marketed for morning sickness and as a sedative, and thereby taken by many pregnant women. Unfortunately, it turned out if women took this medicine in the first trimester of their pregnancy, babies were born with horrible limb abnormalities. And so that particular molecule was obviously retracted from the market, but unfortunately only after, I think, more than 10,000 babies were born with these limb defects. And then for many years and decades, nobody wanted to touch thalidomide or any of its analogs, basically with a 10-foot pole. But it then became clear that they have a very interesting anti-cancer activities.
Tell me how this thalidomide actually works then.
So this was then only in 2010 when a Japanese research group identified the molecular mechanism of this drug, or in particular the cellular binding partner of that drug. And this turned out to be a protein called cereblon, which is a so-called E3 ligase. And this is one of these proteins that are engaged in the cellular degradation machinery. Once we knew that thalidomide binds to this E3 ligase, to this degradation machinery, the question was whether we could use this binding event to reprogram this machinery by simply just using the thalidomide part on one end and then conjugating thalidomide to another small molecule that would bind to a protein of interest. And so then we have these heterobifunctional molecules that bind to the degradation machinery and bind to this protein of interest, bring the two together, and thereby redirect this degradation activity to get rid of a target protein of interest.
And so in that 2015 paper, your target protein was a protein essential for the growth and survival of a particular cancer. And you tested this in living mice, didn't you?
Exactly. Yeah, this is really one of the, I think, key findings of this paper. I mean, we were very excited to see that this molecule works in just a cancer cell line in a dish, and it worked very fast and very potent. But the real proof and the real test for us was, can we get this to work in an animal model of a disease? Because I think this is really the first box we needed to check to make sure that this has some therapeutic potential. And we were amazed by how well it worked. I mean, we basically treated mice once with this molecule. These were mice that had already a tumor growing. We took out the tumor and stained and quantified for levels of this protein called BRD4, and only a couple of hours after treating once with this particular molecule, we could see that levels of these proteins were strongly decreased in the tumor, and we found that when we treated those tumor-bearing mice every day, the tumor growth was very profoundly reduced, and so that we could really basically shrink the tumors in those mice. So we slowed down the tumor growth by degrading a protein relevant to that cancer in the tumor.
Now that was, 4 years ago? Mm-hmm. Theoretically, this thalidomide conjugation technique could work for any protein target that we have a ligand for, that we know binds to a ligand.
Yeah, I think that is a fair statement. And I think for some proteins, we even might have ligands without knowing it, because so far we always had that filter where we said we really only care about the ligand that changes protein function. And this is a border, or this is basically a hurdle that we have now eliminated, because binding of the ligand can be entirely inconsequential, because we just use ligand binding as an anchor to induce, again, closeness to the protein degradation machinery. And so by that logic, we were also talking about, multi-domain proteins. And often in cancer research and also in many other disease-relevant research fields, we're driven by genetic studies. So we know that if in cancer B we knock out a particular gene, we slow down cancer growth. And then, for instance, this particular gene can be a protein that has three different functionalities. And so then some of these functionalities might look like great targets for a small molecule ligand, simply because, for instance, this functionality has been inhibited before. And then sometimes the community makes very potent ligand against this functionality, but it can be that this particular inhibiting this functionality does not equate to just knocking out or deleting that gene. And I think all of these cases we can now recapitulate and revisit with a degradation technology, because our chemical perturbation of degrading the protein is a much closer match to deleting it genetically than the conventional way of pharmacology where we just inhibit a protein function.
So it's kind of like a chemical knockout.
Very much so, yeah.
What do you think should be some of the protein targets that will help the fight against cancer that might use this technique?
I think I'm biased in this because my research interest is in gene control, but I think we now have the tools certainly to tackle some of these transcriptional co-activators and regulators of gene control. I think ultimately we should aim to target transcription factors for degradation, and that has been achieved for some transcription factors, but I think this will also be those proteins with the highest bar, because for many of them, we don't have defined ligand binding pockets where we can predict that we can develop a ligand, whether it's consequential or inconsequential, but this will be the challenge. But there is also already strategies out there how these limitations can be tackled.
How close is this technology to the clinic? Have we had clinical trials using thalidomide conjugation?
So not directly with the technology of thalidomide conjugation, but with other closely related heterobifunctional molecules that just hijack another part of the protein degradation machinery with a very similar functionality. There is one biotech startup, or biotech company, I should say, out of New Haven called Arvinas that has a couple of months ago started the first clinical trials in humans for, I think, to degrade a transcription factor called the androgen receptor in prostate cancer.
Right.
And this is, to the best of my knowledge, the first clinical trial, and obviously the entire field is very eagerly waiting for the results of this.
And finally, what's next for you?
So we are very much interested in pushing this technology to the next limit and eventually be able to degrade proteins that we can't bind. And I'll tell you more next time we meet how we plan to do this.
That was Georg Winter, who's currently at the Research Center for Molecular Medicine of the Austrian Academy of Sciences. Before I left, I wanted to speak to a member of the jury to hear what had made Georg's work stand out. I pulled Professor Laura Macheski to the side, and we went for a walk outside the training center to sit among the chirping insects in the evening sunshine for a chat about Georg's achievements.
So I'm Professor Laura Macheski, and I'm from the Beetson Institute for Cancer Research in Glasgow.
What was it this year then about Georgi Winter's work that really stood out above the crowd?
So I was actually one of the most enthusiastic panel members, I think, about his work, because I thought what he had done, which was to pioneer this ubiquitin-mediated degradation of proteins in cells in a specific way, was unique among the applicants and was something that changed the way that we really could think about how to proceed with undruggable targets. So his work caught the interest of many pharma companies and had really made a paradigm shift in the field, I think. For me, that stood out as something that was not only an interesting scientific discovery, but something that potentially could change the lives of human patients for diseases like cancer, and could revolutionize maybe the way that pharma would target proteins in the cell that normally would be thought of as untargetable or undruggable.
What reaction do you have to someone like Jorgi when they, you know, display this kind of innovation?
I think it's really exciting, and I guess maybe being young, you're a bit more fearless of what you can achieve. And so sometimes when you're more experienced, you might overthink things and talk yourself out of doing the risky, exciting science that young people can do. And so I think Georg really had the fearlessness to take on a very difficult problem in biology and to maybe go against the odds to try something that many people would have ruled out as just being too difficult to do.
Since his sort of key paper in 2015, what impact have you seen it have in the medical sphere?
I guess I knew about his discoveries before he applied for this award or before he was nominated for this award, because it's touched my own work as well in the lab. And I saw that lots of pharma companies were very excited about the idea of using the ubiquitin system to target protein destruction in cells. And that for my own work, we've been trying to develop a compound to target a protein called FASN in the cell. And that is obviously a protein-protein interaction target, which is considered not a druggable target. And so his system has given hope to many basic researchers who are trying to target difficult proteins in cells, which might nevertheless be really important for diseases such as cancer or Alzheimer's disease. So I think that was really striking for me.
That was Professor Laura Macheski from the Beetson Institute for Cancer Research in Glasgow in the UK. And before her, you heard this year's award winner, Georg Winter, from the Research Centre for Molecular Medicine of the Austrian Academy of Sciences. This has been a special podcast from Nature Research, part of Springer Nature. I'm Jeff Marsh. Thank you for listening.